Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, coming to you this morning from Columbia, Missouri. I don't know how the sound quality will be today. We'll do the best we can, but I want to thank you guys for being with us this morning. You may hear a little background noise. My hotel is kind of butted up against a major highway, which was a bit of a problem as I attempted to sleep in today, but I thought, well, here we are. We'll go ahead and get up and do the show. Hope you guys are well wherever you are today. We'll be here in Columbia for a couple more days as Bulldogs wrap up the regular season here at Coma. We'll break down the game. We'll look around the league and talk about a few more things before we're done. Got a top 10 list. It's very kind of personal to me. You guys know that I got some friends and a few bands out there and was hoping to link up with one of them while I was here in town. But they have new material out. And so we'll share some information with you about those guys. But yeah, it is Friday. It is Maroon Friday. Hopefully you're wearing maroon today. And isn't it wonderful that we live in a country that we can celebrate Maroon Friday as we choose? Hope it's a payday for you too. Get out and do some cool things. There's not many people here in Como attending ball games. I would say last night it was probably nearly 50-50. Between Stadium Missouri fans. And Everett Kennard, the bus driver, sat next to me yesterday. And I made the comment to him as they made another late pitching change. And listen, I don't begrudge them that, trying to get those guys some work and before they head off the summer ball. And, you know, it's been a difficult season. But I turned to E and I said, E, can you imagine having to cover this all year long? I mean, honest to goodness. And I didn't see any Missouri media last night, but could you imagine having, you know, 54 game season and having to go out there and see that night in, night out, traveling, dealing with all this stuff? I cannot begin to imagine. I mean, you'd never be excited to get up and go to work. You know what I'm saying? It's like every game you expect to lose. And that's what makes last weekend so much more remarkable, right? And I like Kerrick Jackson, and I know he really wants to be here in Missouri, and I think eventually they'll do some decent things here, but they got to support him. And that's not just the university, but the fans do too, and that all works hand in hand. I'm well aware of that. But it has been one of the more challenging seasons that I can remember in my lifetime for an SEC team. So, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. First pitch tonight also at 6 p.m. If you are in the area, come by, say hello. And again, great turnout percentage-wise for Bulldogs compared to Tigers last night. And I suspect it'll be probably similar tonight. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. They love us. They do a great job preparing meals for us and providing us the opportunity to have a great place to go recreate with friends and family, whether it's a lunch with work colleagues or an evening out with friends or family. We encourage you to patronize Bulldog Burger Company. And there's not a lot of reason that we should have to sell you on that. It is the best place to get a hamburger in the great state of Mississippi. And you know it. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Go in, put your feet under their table. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let me recommend this, the Bulldog itself. It's a good straight ahead rock and roll American hamburger. You'll be happy with that, and you can branch out on your next visit. But if you want to take a walk on the wild side like me, maybe get the Mission. I get the Pico de Gallo on the side when I get it. Cause, you know, I like to control my onion distribution. I'm not a big fan of onions, as you guys are well aware. But you'll be glad you did. And maybe you're not feeling like a burger, but everybody else is. Get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I always get it with ranch dressing. Well, that Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's go ahead and jump right in here. We'll go ahead and break down the game. Many of you watched it. Some others, maybe not so much. But we'll take you through it. The first thing I'll tell you, and I did send out a video for those of you that were curious about Taylor Park. And listen, that's not in any way to, you know, denigrate Missouri. They're just not a baseball school. And I think sometimes we kind of take that for granted. We're in the same league as those guys. But if you look around that video, and over 35,000 of you did, you can kind of see that it's not great. It's not great. And it doesn't feel like a Southeastern Conference environment. Like I read somebody made a comment yesterday. He said, well, you know, wasn't a great year for baseball, so that probably negates the home field advantage. There is no home field advantage here. I mean, honestly, what I mean from a crowd standpoint, there's just not. It really feels like a midweek game. And I asked Justin Parker about this last night. You can watch our videos of postgame for free over at jeanspage.com, only place you're going to find them. But I was worried a little bit about us coming out trying to hit the 10-run home run in the first inning and then maybe scuffling a little bit and then making them feel like they were in it a bit. But we did a really good job of coming out, I thought, and having an approach. Bulldogs, of course, jump out to the early lead. Let's break it down and take a look at it here. It's always so interesting when I have to record from the road. You know, I don't ever feel quite as comfortable. I love you all just as much, but I never feel quite as comfortable here. But all right, so Garrick Fry doubles down the left field line and really struck that ball well. Had a little bit of a tail to it, no chance there. And you think, okay, that's great. Let's get this run around. Reeves gets the bunt down, and while it would work as a sacrifice, he's bunting for a hit and ultimately gets it. Now, Fry goes to third and then kind of jams himself up a little bit. Talked to Parker in postgame. He said it's going to depend on how he feels. Garrick wanted to stay in the game. Garrick loves his teammates. Garrick wants to win and go play in an NCAA regional. But they pulled him as a precaution. He does end up scoring here on a wild pitch. And if you saw him score, I don't think the university clipped the run there. But, yeah, it was a labor to get down the third baseline to home. And so – they pull him, which was the right decision, but it's a 1-0 ball game. Ace goes down swinging, full count there, but you think, man, really need to get Ace going here. We did. It's not that inning. But Sullivan flies out to left. That sends Reeves to third, and right now I'm thinking, you know what, we really need to find a way to get this run home here. I'd hate to get out of here 1-0 with the wind blowing out the way that it is, and all of a sudden, you know, they get a chance to elevate a couple balls and get an early lead and get their 100 fans involved. But Hunter Hines actually pops up to right field. You think it's going to be good inning over. No, they drop it. They drop it. The run scores, and give Hunter some credit, too, for running that thing out. He ends up on second. And then when Bryce Chance comes and takes that ball the other way, and how many times have we seen Bryce Chance do it? Two outs, take that ball to right, you know, right backside gap on an 0-2 pitch. Drives in a run, makes it 3-0. Powell goes down swinging, but a good start for the Bulldogs. And so every time you score, you know, you want that clean inning. Well, we got one from Pico. Again, throwing on short rest here. He gets Lovich a strikeout swinging. He is easily their best player. Pierre Seals, former Memphis Tiger, is walked there. I thought we actually had the strikeout. And then Nicoletta doubles to left field, and so I'm thinking, here we go. Here we go. It's going to be one of those wild games that we're not going to enjoy unless we win. Nobody's going to have a relaxing moment through nine innings. So two men in scoring position, less than two outs. You feel like, okay, they're going to score. But Pico's like, hey, guys, wait a minute. Pico gets Patterson to strike out looking on three pitches and then gets Pierre to strike out swinging. So they strand the two runners in scoring position. You're like, okay, all right, we're good, we're good, we're good. We just got to keep scoring. Well, we do, but not in the way we did in the first. Heifel fouls out to the right fielder, and then Sanders lines out to right. Stallman then homers to left center to make it a 4-0 ball game. Of course, he's the replacement for Garrick Fry. So the leadoff spot comes up there in the second inning, hits a solo shot, and then Reeves flies out to right. And kind of the unique situation as the Missouri right fielder ties a college baseball, really a game of baseball record, recording all three outs in the inning. A record held by many, by thousands, if perhaps millions. But it's interesting. You don't see a lot of F9. You don't see a lot of that. All right, bottom of second against State with a 4-0 lead. We walked Cerna to open the frame. Thought we had him struck out too. They get a sack bunt down. And then Hernandez, a kid that's hit about a buck 60, flies out to right field, making the nine-hole hitter grounds out to second. Sanders had a very active night last night, made some good plays. So 4-0, and again, two clean innings for Pico. Get to the third, you're thinking, we'll just keep scoring. There's never enough runs. Reese flies out to right field. Sullivan doubles down the left field line, and so here we go, a scoring opportunity. However, Hines and Chance both go down swinging. So it's 4-0 going to the third, bottom of third, pardon me. Jackson Lovitch flies out to right field. That ball was an absolute rope. Ross Highfield made a nice play on it. Seals goes down swinging. Nicoletta gets on the throwing error here. It's kind of a wild and crazy play here where, and it happened a couple times last night, really. It's a ball to the right side. Hines ranges off the bag, can't quite get there. Sanders gets there and has to throw to the pitcher. He throws behind Pico. And so Nicoletta reaches, and then Patterson grounds out the third. So again, three clean innings for Pico as we get to the fourth, and this is when things begin to get a little dirty. Joe Powell first pitch, an absolute tank to left field to make it 5-0. Heifel pops up to the pitcher. Sanders is hit by the pitch, and then Stallman homers, and this was a wild scenario here. Right fielder couldn't find it. And so the center fielder is tracking, tries to make a leaping catch. We don't know at the ballpark if he's caught it or not. And the officials, to be honest with you, were a little late getting out there. I know it's a thankless job, but, you know, we could get on the hop a little bit here and see what happened. Because Gad Sanders is not a protected runner here, right? So either he has to tag or he has to go. Well, everybody in the Bulldog dugout is like, just get go. And so we run around the bases, and then eventually they come out and say, yeah, it was a home run. But the Seals was banged up. Great effort by him, but could not make the play. And it's now 7-0. But that was a wild scenario, especially for Gad Sanders. Gad's probably thinking, what do I do? You know, what do I do? Well, let's listen to the coaches. Well, that's all for Kellenbrink. They bring in Jacoby, who was the guy that we thought might be the Sunday starter. Turns out, no. He spent a lot of his time here. They did a lot of arms last night. They'll have some guys for Sunday. But, I'm beginning to wonder if Coach Jackson may not pitch on Sunday. But Reeves goes down swinging. Reese then homers to center field. And that was an absolute tank job, too. Makes it 8-0. Sullivan goes down swinging. Bottom of four, they have to pull Pierre. And in the middle of the at-bat, mind you. But they pull him. That's a center fielder to crash into the wall. I think I said Seals, but yeah, it was Pierre. But anyway, Frost ends up walking. Again, a guy that hit about a buck 40. I don't like that at all, ever. I mean, it's an 8-0 lead, and it's a 1-2 count, and it's a guy that's hitting a buck 40. You just pound the strike zone. Sarnedon flies out to center. Frost tags and goes to third. He gets to second courtesy of a wild pitch. And then Knutson goes down looking. Hernandez strikes out looking. And a lot of people are like, yeah, Steve, Pico didn't have his best stuff. We're still on short rest for the second time in 2 weeks. But I thought he really kind of grinded this thing out. And, that's the thing, pitching today, he won't pitch again for a while. All right, Hines pops up to the third baseman on the first pitch. Chance and singles to second, infield hit there. And then Powell out at first. kind of rolled it over there to the first baseman. He tosses to the pitcher. They get him. Heifel goes down looking, but it's 8-0. But you're thinking, you know what? I can never have enough runs. And I'd like to get this game over at 7. That's what I was thinking right there. I said, man, got a good chance. Maybe we can get out of here with 7 and get to the house. I'd been up since 5 o'clock in the morning, so I was eager to get something to eat and go lay down. But it's not always about me. It rarely is about me, just so you know. Even in my own house, it's rarely about me. But bottom of 5, Macon strikes out swinging. Lovitz has then walked, and it kind of felt like a pitch around. And then Pierre Seals singles to left center. And this throw's got to go back in a second. We try to make a throw to third, allows a runner to take up a base. And so the next thing you know, the runner's at second and third, less than 2 outs. That's it for Pico. We bring in Stone, and we need Stone to get us a non-productive out. He gets us one. Nicoletto pops up to the shortstop. Nobody can advance, and then Patterson goes down swinging. So good job by Stone there, who ultimately proved to be your pitcher of record, earns the win in relief. If Pico had gone another third of an inning, he would have the opportunity to get the win. But quality start for Pico. All right, top of 6, Gadd singles to center. Then Stallman goes down looking, and he was just fooled on the pitch. It's a full count. I think he's sitting fastball, and they got through a really nice breaking ball in there for a strike. Stallman tried to sell it. Didn't work out. Reeves then walks, and then Reese, a 3-run bomb to right field, and really not much question about this one. Makes it 11-0, and now I'm thinking, okay, are we having pizza? Do we want to get wings? And what are we going to do? We want to go sit down somewhere? Do we want to DoorDash food? I don't know, but I'm already thinking about dinner. Sullivan and singles to right field. Hines doubles to right, which pushes Sullivan to third. That's it for Jacoby. They bring in Ben Smith, who gets a chance to fly out to right. However, RBI sack fly there as Sullivan trots in to score. And then Powell goes down swinging. It's a 12-0 ball game. And I'm already counting out. So I'm thinking, okay, 12-0. Maybe we give a run or two. They got 6 outs to work with. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be out of here in no time. Wrong. Okay, so Frost comes up again, and we walk him again. And this is, again, infuriating to me. I don't care what the score is. This kid, I think, has 1 hit, maybe 2 on the year. And we have walked him in back-to-back at bats. It just drives me crazy. You know, when it's 12-0, and this, you got a guy up there that's leading off an inning that has barely recorded a collegiate hit, just throw a strike. If he hits out of the ballpark, it's 12-1. But we're not going to walk him. You go out there and challenge that guy. That's irritating to me, and it should be to all baseball fans. It should be. And that's twice now we've done it. 2 different pitchers, both times it happens. We're not pitching around a kid that's got 1 or 2 collegiate hits. Cerner then singles to right field. And again, this all kind of starts a bit of a rally, right? And again, I go back to this walking a kid that can't hit. Cerner singles to right field. Frost goes to second. Nutson then singles to left side. That chases in the run. There's that leadoff walk coming back to bite you. Makes it 12-1. Hernandez goes down looking, making grounds out to second. And then, okay, hey, we're a pitch away from getting into the 7th inning with a 12-1 lead. But no, first pitch, Jackson Lovitz homers to center field. And listen, I get it. You want to challenge him? And he got us. He did. That makes it 12-4. And you start thinking, you know what? Now we got to score 2 runs in the 7th to get on out of here. So dinner was on hold. And all this happens, and like, there's still outs to get. Seals doubles to right field, then goes third on a wild pitch, and Nicoletto grounds out the short. That ends the inning. It's 12-4. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to need some more runs here. Now let's go get a couple runs and get 3 outs and go home. Well, that's not what happened. Nolan Stevens, pinch hits for Ross Highfield. Been a while since we've seen him. I got a chance to see him play yesterday. Sanders grounds out the first, and then down strikes out swinging. Hustles on the play because the pitch gets away. He gets it to first base. And then Reeves singles through the left side. Downs goes to second. You think, hey, maybe the hit. Ace Reese is up. He of the 2 home run night. 3-run bomb here would have made it a 15-4 game. Give you a chance at that 7-inning mercy rule. But no, Reese grounds to first. They toss to the pitcher, and that's the inning. So we know we're going to play at least eight at this point. And we open up, and we hit Baser with the pitch. Another guy that has done next to nothing this year. And then Frost, he of the two walks, gets an infield single. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're one swing away from having to sweat this thing out. And then sure enough, Serna hits a home run to right center to make it a 12-7 game. And the 50 Missouri fans that were still there were geeked, absolutely geeked. We're up five, and you can start feeling anxiety in the building. You can. I felt it. You felt it. I said, okay, we're going to win this game. This is going to be one of those games that we look back and say, oh, my gosh, it felt so much like Auburn again, right? You get that big lead, and you can't mercy rule them, and you got to play it out. So we go get Nate Williams for Kevin Manal. We didn't want to use Nate Williams. We didn't, but we had to. Can't afford to lose his ball game. And again, you think about what happened last week at A&M. A&M gets up 6-0, just kind of begins to coast and gives up six runs in the ninth, loses ball game, ultimately costs them the weekend. Nate gets nuts in the ground out to first and our second. This is that, again, that wild play that Hines ranges off the bag. It gets through him. Gad gets it and throws to Nate. Nate makes an incredible athletic play to record the out there. Then Hernandez, another guy hitting about .160, strikes out swinging, making grounds out to second. So we finally get out of that thing. But, again, it's going to take a Herculean effort for us to mercy rule them. That came later. And they tried to help us here. Sullivan's hit by the pitch. Hines then walks. Chance goes down swinging. Then Powell walks. Base is loaded. And you want to be able to cash in here. They pull Cristall. They bring in Green, and he – Nolan Stephens slaps one to right field, run scores, 13-7. Sanders then singles into right center. Hines scores, makes it 14-7. And I was glad to see us answer, right, because you could just kind of feel all of a sudden they had a little juice over in the Missouri dugout, thinking, okay, this is going to be just like Texas A&M. And State's like, no, it's not. Downs reaches on the fielder's choice. Powell scores, makes it 15-7. That was a ground ball to third. They tried to get two, couldn't get it. Downs a little bit too fleet of foot. Reeves then strikes out looking, but it's a 15-7 ball game. So we know we're going to play eight for sure, and now nine. 1-2-3 inning for Nate, and Root needed it, right? And then we had kind of a historic inning in the ninth. Again, Missouri goes 1-2-3 there in the eighth, top of the nine. And it's going to take us a while to sort through this. There's a lot to discuss. So Ace opens up with a double to left center. And then Noah Solomon joins the party with a two-run tank to left center. And, you know, Noah's kind of been up and down here as of late since he got hit. Remember that when he got hit on the wrist or hand or whatever it was? And a couple weeks back, he's kind of been scuffling. Good, and I thought he had a good game last night. He homers to left center, makes it 17-7. There's that 10 runs. And then Hines homers to right center, pulling him to within one of Rafael Palmeiro. The score is now 18-7. Chance goes down looking. Joe Powell, who quietly had a good game too, singles to left. Stevens is then hit by the pitch. Nate Chester, the former Missouri Tiger, had a chance to speak to him post-game too. He's pretty jacked. Got in the game and got an at-bat. They ended up walking him. And now bases are loaded now. And Aaron Downs is hit by the pitch, and they bring in McCartney, and it was scary right away. And for those of you that watched it, Aaron, God, man, such a great guy. I mean, you just absolutely hate it. It feels like his entire career, he's been nursing something, and man, you hate it so bad. Barely had a chance to even kind of turn his head a little bit, and looks like, I'm no doctor, but it looks like a broken nose to me. Looks like. Tough man. And, you know, it's part of baseball sometimes. But Parker said in postgame he's probably out for the foreseeable future. And I don't know what that means. You know, probably not even back this weekend. But he's a little bit banged up. And now I'll give him credit. He was there celebrating with his teammates late. But, man, that was tough. It was really tough to see. It was really tough to see AD go down like that. It was. And thoughts and prayers go out to him. Yeah, he's going to live, but man, it's just brutal to see that. O'Brien enters for Downs, and of course, on the HBP, Powell scores to make it 19-7. Reevesen flies out to left, RBI, sack fly there, makes it 20-7. O'Brien goes to second. Chester scores on a wild pitch. It's 21-7. They walk Reese, and Steven Spoletta, yeah, he gets in and then triples. Just absolutely destroys that baseball, triples to right center. Two runs score, it's 23-7. And then Hines homers for the second time in the inning to make it 25-7, tying the record with Rafael Palmeiro. Now, I'm going to say this, and this may hurt some feelings, and if it does, that's okay. It's so disappointing that on a night that we set records, that we have people that want to come out and denigrate the record. Let me remind you of this. We're awfully proud of Jake Mangum. Hey, guys, Jake played 4 years, too. Oh, you forgot? Yeah, maybe so. And there are some people within our fan base, and some of you need to go sit down and talk to somebody. I mean, honest to goodness. Get off Twitter, because what's happened is some of this, you know, nonsense on Twitter has infiltrated your brain. And you're not thinking objectively. Guys, we should love and support our players. Absolutely should. Hunter Hines is tied for most career home runs in Mississippi State history. That is something to be celebrated, and to immediately go out there and to try to tear that down. It's not right. It's not right. Not to mention, you know, years ago, before there was this collective bargaining agreement, things like that, everybody played 4 years. Maybe you don't know the history of the game. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm very proud of Hunter Hines. That was one of his goals when he came back. Hunter Hines could have signed last year, as you guys know. But once he got through day two, he's like, I'm just going to come back. Hunter Hines wants a chance to get to Omaha, have a chance to do some good things. And, yeah, Hunter Hines' name will forever be in the record books, whether you like it or not. And it's very frustrating to me to see these things that pop up on a night that we should just, hey, you know what, we got to go to Missouri and take care of business, and we go out there and hammer them in this game and set a school record for 8 home runs in a single game, which ties an SEC record. And then we have Hunter Hines have a very memorable night. It's just too bad it's on the road, right? But congratulations to Hunter Hines and Richie and everybody in that family. I am absolutely jacked for him, and I didn't get him in media last night, because I got a feeling he's going to break it this weekend, and I'd like to be able to have that, right? So, Bryce Chance, then sing.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers, so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Goes off the pitcher, and that's it for him. They decided to pull him and let the DH pitch. It's a 25-7 ball game, and then Powell flies out to left. And then in the ninth, Basler goes down looking. Frost, look at that, Frost. The kid's on fire. 4 at-bats against Mississippi State, reaches base all 4 times. Probably 4 of the only times he's been on base all year. Callaway strikes out swinging, pinch hitter, and then Malpas pinch hits for Knutson. And wild pitch sends Frost to third, but Malpas goes down swinging. That's your ball game. 25-7 is your final. As you guys are well aware, let's kind of look back at a couple of the numbers here, too. We talked about the 8 home runs, which is a school record against Don Simmons, credited with the win. Nate Williams earns a save. Of course, he gets gaudy late, but when he came in, you know, it was a 5-run game. And Brady Kellenbeck, Brink, falls to 0-5 on the year. Thought the kid pitched okay for a while, but pretty good breaking ball for him. But looking back here, Garrick Fragos 1-for-1. And again, I don't expect him to play today. We saw him playing as well as he did yesterday. I think you probably just let Garrick rest. He wants to play. I guarantee you he wants to play. And we need him to play. But again, Reed picks him up yesterday. AD, of course, 0-for-2, but gets a couple of RBIs because it's just nuts, man, what happened to him. Sawyer East, 2-for-5 in the ballgame. Ace, 3-for-6 with 4 RBIs and 4 runs scored. Noah Sullivan goes 3-for-5. It's good to see right there. Spoleto, 1-for-1. Hunter Hines, 3-for-6. 3 RBI, 4 runs scored for him. Bryce Chance, 3-for-6 tonight. Joe Powell, 2-for-6. Nolan Stevens back in action again, 1-for-2 for him. Gat Sanders, 2-for-4. I mean, it's a good night. And again, you look at the, you know, how many, you look at all the statistics, right? Like, we haven't had that series. Like, we hadn't had a chance to play Missouri yet. And so some other people have, and they stacked up these numbers, and everybody's like, hey, well, look at this. Well, now it's our turn, you know. Bulldogs advance to 32-30 overall, 13-15 in the Southeastern Conference. Missouri drops to 16-36 and 3-25. And there's your trivia question there, two kids. Missouri now an SEC record for losses, league losses in a season, courtesy of Mississippi State. Hopefully we can make that a 3-27 thing. Maybe the record lasts forever. Pitching numbers, Pico goes 4 1/3 and gets 2 hits. He had 4 walks. And a couple of those I thought we got squeezed a little bit, but 7 punch outs. And like I've seen some people like, oh, well, Pico wasn't great last night. I thought he looked good. There were a couple times that we let some guys get away, but 81 pitches. And again, throwing on short rest. I got no beef with Pico. And again, how many times did you see it when they got a couple runners in third and gets kind of bowed us back? And he's like, nah, we're not doing this. No runs against Pico. Not so much for Stone, and, you know, we love Stone, but, man, a couple things just didn't go his way. We didn't miss a couple bats. He goes 1 1/3, actually gets the gives up 4 runs, but gets the win. Kevin Minnell struggled a little bit, too, and I think they stacked lefties against him, which kind of negates that sidearm action that he has from the right side. So kind of good coaching for them, and they got to us. And they stacked those left-handers in there and made a game of it. Then Nate Williams comes out and throws 3 innings, allows 1 hit, no runs, 4 strikeouts. And again, even though I knew the game was over, that 1-2-3 in the 8th I thought was significant. So any chance that they felt like they had. And my, I tell you what, it's incredible. Let me count them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pitchers from Missouri last night. Now, a lot of those guys late, do an inning or so, but you got to feel like, you know, Caden Jacoby, 47 pitches, maybe he can come back, you know, but not a good night for the Tigers as State takes game 1 of the series. And so we're going to do our close with Blair, player of the game, and there are people we could choose from, but how do you ignore a school record, tying a school record, right? It's Hunter Hines. And the Close with Blair player of the game, always brought to you by Close with Blair. Let me give you Blair's information. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His number, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the name to know. Don't mess around with that. Don't overthink it. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're kind of dealing with somebody maybe less than you deserve. If Blair is the guy to get things done, that's the name, closewithblair.com. Blair is a bulldog through and through and a guy that does a great job with his clients. So we ensure that you have Blair is going to do a good job for you. So reach out to Blair, make your dream of homeownership to come true. All right, let's get back to it. Hopefully we can get the sound quality issue resolved here. I'm doing the best I can. I apologize. You may have to adjust your volume, but nevertheless, we'll see how things go. But we'll do the best we can with all this. It's just simply life on life's terms, but maybe that's fixed it. We'll see. But it's time for today's top 10 list. It's always brought to you by Kalito Guitars. Kalito Guitars doing the best they can to give you some incentive to buy some merch from them. It's a Mississippi State-owned company in Lake Jackson, Texas. Yeah, great, great selection of instruments there. Whether you're looking for an electrical guitar, an acoustic guitar, a classical guitar, you can find everything you need at Kalito Guitars for the guitar player in your life. And if you're like me, I don't play well enough, but I enjoy playing. It's a great outlet. It's a great creative pursuit to kind of add some color to my life. And my dogs don't like it, but sometimes I just plug in and play along. You know, I do the best I can. Whether you're a beginner or a professional, Kalito Guitars can help you. Be sure and check them out today at KalitoGuitars.com. They'll give you some incentive too. I mean, just incredible selection, great service before, during, and after sale. Their level of expertise is unmatched when it comes to buying guitars. And I like to support Mississippi State businesses whenever we can. So check them out at KalitoGuitars.com. Use promo code BSR. That's familiar, right? Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you 10% off your purchase price, free shipping, and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, they'll give you a 5% donation to the Bulldog Initiative based on your purchase price. So a discounted rate, free shipping, no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas, and you're helping Mississippi State by supporting a Mississippi State business. I wish more Bulldogs did this, but let's credit Kalito Guitars. Be sure and check it out today, CalidoGuitars.com. All right, so we are in Columbia, Missouri. I have some friends from Jefferson City, Missouri. They're in a band called Shaman's Harvest. I hit up Josh yesterday to see if they were in town, see if he wanted to break bread. They are in the studio. Yeah, we're going to the studio next week. They're rehearsing now to go in the studio to begin work on a new album. And it's been a while since we've done Shamans, so I thought we'd update that. I love Shamans, and it's very modern-day Southern rock, and it's interesting. Yeah, is Missouri really in the South? Yeah, they seem to think so, but Nate, Drake, everybody, they're just such good guys in that band. And, you know, we talked at one time when we were doing Rock Vegas, so it's like, let's just start stacking these together. I had people saying, hey, Steve, are you going to bring Shamans to Starkville? Man, I would love to bring Shamans to Starkville. And I feel pretty confident we could do that at some point. And it'd be a great night for everybody. But I don't know when or if we do that again. You know, we'll see. You know, life is interesting. But I wanted to update you. They had a new single that was released earlier this year. And that is going to be part of our top 10 list. And you know how it is. Sometimes different songs hit you in different times of your life. And so you've got a different feel, right, for that top 10 list. So we'll start with the new single that came out earlier this year. Cool video for it. It's called Rock and Roll Queen. And if you know Shamans, it is very, very, very Shamans Harvest. Yeah, it's the classic sound of Shamans Harvest. Number nine. Dig this one, man. And I, from my very first listen through on this album, this is the song that kind of jumped out to me. And that's how life worked. We're talking the Red Hands Black Deeds album from 2017. And Josh had told me when they got ready to record that album, he's like, man, we wanted to do this in a very non-traditional way. Like everything that we did, if it felt like the same old thing, we just did the opposite. And I think it worked out really well for them. And it's a song called Off the Tracks. And, you know, basically it's about a guy that him and his girlfriend have broken up. And he talks about how sorry he is. And the word from up the hill, you won't take me back. But this is a very up-tempo, very great Southern song. Number eight, the number one track, the lead track on the amazing album, Smoking Hearts and Broken Guns. That is probably my favorite album from 2015 and easily my favorite album from Shamans. And what's interesting about this album is after they recorded Shine, Nate was diagnosed with cancer. And they thought this may be their last album with him. So they put everything they had into it. Every dime they'd ever made, they put into production of this album, and they worked with Mascot Records, and it paid off. And I'm happy to say that Nate is in remission and has been for some time. And he even wrote a song called The End of Me that was really about that illness. And he kind of references that in the track Dangerous, this deadly sickness. You know, it's a great track. When I shared this with Bill Martin, who used to be over Mississippi State Media Relations, he said, you know, we ought to use this as the outro, you know, for football. That's how great it is. Dangerous, number 8 on your list. Number 7, going back to Red Hands and Black Deeds. This is one of those great songs, and Nate wrote this. He and I had a chance to talk about it at Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. And I said, I got to know who wrote the song. And Nate just looked at me and grinned because that was me. I said, dude, it is so great. And it's just one of those songs, too, that I think everybody would like, no matter what genre of music is your favorite. It's a great track called Tuscan Bone. And, you know, tell me about the time when giants walked among us. And it's one of these things where there's just so many things that happen in life, and this is one of those songs that just kind of hits me in the right spot. Number 6, this was a huge hit on Sirius XM Octane, and this is not a song to be played around your children, okay? Let me just go ahead and let you know right out of the gate, and you'll know it from the title, but the song is called Country as F, and you know what F stands for. And many of you are country as you know what. And it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. You know, it talks about, I've been all around our world on the hillbilly crank, and I'll do it again. Great track. It's a lot of fun. They sold a tons of shirts that say country as F on them, as you can imagine. But anyway, I think that's one of those songs, too, that people know and are very familiar with. But number 5, maybe one you don't know as well off the Revelator album. It is my favorite track off that album. And it's basically about a guy that just is absolutely enamored with this woman. And we've all been there, but it's called Lilith. And tell me all your little secrets. Tell me what you want to be. I'm the snake within your garden. You're my Lilith. Who needs Eve? I mean, it's just poetry. Great, great, great. Number 4. One of my favorite songs, and they played this for us. Ani and I went and saw them in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Nate showed Ani the guitar part on this. Like, before the show, we got to go, he had a sound check and everything, and he showed him how to play it. And but it's a track called In the End, and it's really a song about life. It's about, you know, did you win? You know, what do you determine is when you get to the end of your life? And I'm sure a lot of that was very personal, you know, for Nate as he wrote this, you know. And there's just so much about that song that jumps out to me. And, you know, Nate was dealing with a failed relationship, and then they got back together. And that's one of the things he talks about, is we remembered how to dance. And it's a very emotional song, and it means an awful lot to me. Number 3, this is another big hit on Sirius XM Octane. It's In Chains. And I love that opening riff, man. I just love it so much. It's one of those songs that just kind of makes it happen, right? And if you are a person, too, that is maybe feeling like you're in some type of personal bondage, this may be a song for you. Number 2, and this is not the hit that maybe some others are, but for about 3 years, they opened the show with this. They just kind of walk out on stage, and there is this harmony part that opens this, and it's Blood in the Water. And I love the track. I love the line of, if I lay dead before I make it home, I should lay my head next to Daddy's stone, if I lay dead before I make it home. And that's when they bring in the part about, because I've been running with a smoking heart and a broken gun. Great, great song. I love it. I absolutely love that one. And I would say it may be my favorite in the catalog. But you couldn't put a Shaman's Harvest list together without number one being Dragonfly. That's off the Shine album. And they did an acoustic version, or kind of an extended version on Broken Hearts and Smoking Guns. I think you'll enjoy that one too. But the original one, and Josh told me the story about it. I think he said they were going across Michigan. And Nate was working on this little part, and he said it just sounded like zombie, 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 zombie over and over again. And they were just kind of messing around with it. And Josh says when they got the sound check, he goes, "Hey, Nate, play that." And then Josh plays this like crunching riff. And that's the intro to Dragonfly. And it's so funny, too. They did a cover of Michael Jackson's Dirty Diana. And he said it wasn't just to be weird. We actually loved the song. But anyway, I love those guys. I love their music. And kind of waited to the last minute. Reached out to Josh just yesterday. Hey, man, I'm going to be in town. Would love to break bread if you guys are around. But they're in the studio, which I'm excited about that, too. You know, I'll see them on the road somewhere. I hadn't seen them in a couple of years. I hadn't been out going to shows as much. But, man, these guys are just amazing people. And it's so good to see good people win. And these guys are my age, but they do such a tremendous job. And I'll give you a great example of how nice they are. Is Dana usually goes with me to see Shamans. And we do. We love those guys so much. And one show, she couldn't make it. When Ani and I went to Little Rock to see him. No, where did we see him? He was in Huntsville. Anyway, went to go see him, and Dana couldn't make it. And they recorded a video for her. You know, just saying, "Hey, we know you're not with us tonight, but, you know, you're here with us in spirit, and still have the video." And it's just one of those things that, man, they don't know that to me, you know? And it's just, it's nice when the people that you admire and respect are not to be really good people. And so Shaman's Harvest, one of my favorite bands of all time. And if you don't know them and you like rock and roll, or you like Southern rock, or you like a little bit of country, it's kind of a hodgepodge of all of that. But in addition to that, they're just good dudes, man. And there are so many people out there in music that aren't good dudes. They take all this for granted. And I think a lot of it is, you know, Nate going through that cancer scare. You know, they decided kind of who and what they wanted to be. And they kind of started out years ago trying to decide if they wanted to be a grunge band, you know, and then eventually found themselves being true to themselves. I mean, you go back and listen to Synergy, you can kind of hear some of that. And Dana would be upset that I didn't put Destination Nowhere on here, which may be her favorite track from them. And that goes back to the early days. They don't play it live anymore. And but the reality of it is there's enough in this catalog that dates back, man, for years. And some of you guys would be like, "Steve, I don't know Shaman's Harvest." Well, you should. It's almost like a gift I'm giving you. And I think you really enjoyed them. But again, they really kind of found it in Shine. But man, when they did Broken Hearts and Smoking Guns, it hit a different level. And then they built upon that. Revelator album is great. Red Hands and Black Deeds, great. And I can't wait for the new material. I know these will be my new favorite songs. And when the album comes out, we'll feature those guys again. So Shaman's Harvest, the best rock band from the state of Missouri, just down the road here from where I am today. There in Jefferson City. And it reminds me, too, before we go, Josh made a recommendation for those of you that are in Columbia this weekend to go eat at Shakespeare's Pizza. So that's an unpaid solicitation. I'll be eating lunch there today, and I'll send Josh a picture. But, yeah, again, such a great band, great dudes. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, we'd love them to be great people. Reach out to Roy on X at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because number one, they're great people too, but also they have great merchandise and do a great job outfitting this fan base with the latest in Mississippi State merchandise. Whether you need apparel, gift ideas, things to kind of decorate out your fan cave, they're going to have it there for you at Campus Bookmart. Be sure and check them out next time you're in town. If you can't go by and see their smiling faces, let me encourage you to visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Graduation has crept up on you. Maybe you've waited to apply to the diploma frame. They are advertising those on the website today and on social media. It's a great gift. It's a timeless gift. It's a very thoughtful gift. You need to buy one for the graduate in your life. Okay, let's take a look around the SEC. And we're getting a little help. We're getting a little help. We talked about kind of what our rooting interest is on Monday. But so Georgia takes care of Texas A&M. Texas A&M jumps out to a 3-0 lead, and you think, okay, well, maybe A&M is back. Georgia gets one in the first, two in the second, and then after A&M takes the lead back out to 4-2, Georgia with a 7 spot in the third to make it a 9-4 ball game. From there, they just kind of coast along and win that game 10-6. And there's, again, so much chatter out there about A&M having to make a change again this year. You know, I can't even begin to imagine having to make these types of decisions. But you know, A&M, not historically known as a baseball team with a ton of success, but you had some last year, and you get to within one win of a national championship, and now you're not going to make the tournament after being the preseason number one. That's tough, man. It is. They're 27-24 overall and now 10-18. And if I told you the beginning of this year that Mississippi State was going to finish ahead of Texas A&M in the SEC standings, you would have thought we won the SEC. Crazy, right? All right, Alabama jumps out to a 5-0 lead over Florida on the road down in Gainesville. And you think, hey, isn't this significant, right? This is a big development, especially when you consider how hot Florida's been. And let's not forget, Alabama took 2 out of 3 from Georgia. You know, Rob Vaughn doing a good job there, but they couldn't sustain it. Florida comes back and begins to just kind of chip away. They get 1 in the 4th, 3 in the 5th. Alabama answers with 1 in the 6th. Florida comes back with 1 in the bottom half of that inning, and then 2 in the 7th, and then win that game 7-6. Luke McNeely in relief gets the win. Bobby Bozard, the leadoff hitter, 2 for 4 in the ballgame. And Florida had 2 players leave the game with injury. That's something to watch as we get into deeper into the weekend. And you start looking at this stuff now, and State's a game behind Florida. And so you start thinking about, you know, State owns 2 wins over Alabama. So that could be a nice RPI boost there if they win the series. And if State sweeps and Florida loses this series and they finish 14-16, State could be ahead of Florida in the SEC standings. Wild game in Nashville. Kentucky just jumps all over Vanderbilt early. It's a 5-0 game in the first. Vandy gets 2 in the 3rd, and then Kentucky adds 1 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th. And you think, okay, this game's going to settle in, right? It's 7-2, and then Vandy with a 3 spot in the 5th makes it interesting. And then you get to the 9th, it's a 7-5 ball game. Kentucky just needs to close it out. They can't. Vanderbilt with 3 to walk it off in the 9th shocks Kentucky and takes the series. And now Mississippi State tied with Kentucky in the standings. Vanderbilt now 17-11, pushing ahead towards the opportunity to host. LSU and South Carolina. If I had told you yesterday that South Carolina was going to beat LSU, you would have never believed it. Never would have believed it. But they do. They do. LSU gets up 2-0. It's a game throughout. And you know Maneri's got it out for LSU. You know he does. But the Gamecocks get 1 in the 2nd. And then LSU tacks on 1 in the 5th. It's a 3-1 ball game, but you're like, man, you thought LSU would go in there and just kind of run through them. Well, South Carolina ties it in the 6th. LSU scores 2 in the 8th, and you think, okay, well, this is it. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. South Carolina gets 1 in the 8th and then walks it off in the 9th. Nuts, man. absolutely nuts. So South Carolina clinches, I guess, for Missouri, the 16th seed in the tournament. So now there is no chance that Missouri can catch South Carolina. Missouri locked in as the number 16 seed now. And that was one of the things. It didn't matter if you're 15 or 16, you're playing day one. So the whole pitching plan of let's just go try to win a tournament, you know, it's crazy when you think about it. It really is. But South Carolina gets 2-for-3 night out of shortstop Henry Kazmaier. Michael Braswell, former Gamecock, goes 3-for-3 in the ballgame in a losing effort for LSU. And again, that's one of the more surprising things. It's the reason we play the games. Texas had a bit of a tussle with Oklahoma. You expected that. It's a rivalry. Dylan Volantis gets the – who is a monster. Dylan Volantis out of Texas is a dude, man. Gets the win in relief. But Oklahoma gets a 1-0. Texas ties it. And then in the bottom of the third, Oklahoma takes it back out to 2-1. They tack on one in the fifth. And then Texas comes back with two there in the seventh to pull even. Both teams get runs in the eighth to make it a 4-4 ball game. And then Texas with three in the ninth to win 7-4. So how is that significant for Mississippi State? Well, now Oklahoma's 13-15. Mississippi State, 13-15. State sweeps a series. Texas wins that series. And guess what? Mississippi State could be ahead of Oklahoma in the final standings. There's a reason we play the games, and it's gotten really, really interesting. Things are beginning to tighten up around the league. Big win for Ole Miss last night is they take down Auburn. Now, if Auburn wins this series and State sweeps Missouri, we would be tied with Ole Miss in the standings at 15-50. But Ole Miss last night really did a good job. Hunter Elliott, we talked about, you know, his return. He was really good against State last week. He goes 7 innings, shutout innings, and 8 strikeouts. Will Furness goes 3-for-5 in the ballgame. But it was 2-0 in the fifth, and Ole Miss got 2 in the sixth. And you start thinking, man, they got enough pitching to make this thing hold up. But then in the seventh, they put a 5 spot up. Makes it a 9-0 game. Auburn doesn't score until the ninth. And I really think Auburn was going to win this series. I figured this is the game Ole Miss would win. But, yeah, we're always rooting against Ole Miss, but we're certainly rooting for Auburn now because State holds tiebreaker over Ole Miss. So, again, didn't get help from Auburn last night. Need to get help from Auburn on Friday and Saturday. Tennessee, huge win for them. Huge win. And with the win, they knock Arkansas out of the I guess they could still earn a share. But Texas has earned a share of the SEC championship. It went all the way down to the last weekend of the season. But a crazy game. Arkansas up 2-1 after two. Tennessee puts a 3 spot up in the fourth to make it a 4-2 ball game. And then Arkansas comes back, and you think, okay, this is going to go down to the wire. Well, it did, but it kind of didn't. Tennessee with 3 in the seventh. Arkansas answers with 3 in the eighth. And then Tennessee's like, no, we're winning this ballgame. 3 in the ninth. And then Arkansas gets 1 there in the ninth. So Tennessee takes it 10-7. So very interesting night in the league. And a lot of teams, you know, looking to clinch a series today. So let's look at kind of where things are in the standings. And it's, again, you just got to keep winning and let the traffic clear around you. But we're right there where we want to be. And it's so interesting. People are like, yeah, but you guys are playing Missouri. Well, you played them earlier this year. You know, they count the same on our record as it did in yours. All right. So as it stands right now, obviously, Missouri locked in as the 16 seed. South Carolina locked in as the 15. A&M pretty much locked in as the 14. You know, they're 3 games back of the next spot, but it's still mathematically possible that they could – I guess, no, it's not. No, because there's only 2 games left. So we know 14, 15, 16. And this is where it gets kind of funky. So Mississippi State, Kentucky, Oklahoma, all 13-15. And then there's Florida. Florida 14-14. And what we really want to see happen here is for either Alabama or Florida to win the next two games, right? We don't need them to split. Because of the fact, and I'm sitting here kind of doing the math in my head here. So Florida's 14-14. They're a game ahead of state. Alabama, 15-13. They're two games ahead of state. So if we win the next two, Alabama loses the next two, then we're tied with them, and we would hold the tiebreaker. So Florida wins those two. They end up 16-14. Of course, they're going to beat us in a tiebreaker anyway. So, again, the whole possibility of us, again, we still need some help, but we could be in a situation where we get a bye in the tournament. Of course, the top four teams get the double bye, and then the next four get a single bye. And we are in contention. Really, it boils down to Ole Miss, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi State. We're all right there together. But the reality of it is we're making our way back up the standings, and there's going to be a logjam right there around, 16, 15 wins, 14 wins. And the higher we finish in the standings, the better the resume looks, especially when you consider that among the teams that we're competing with, we won a series over Alabama, we won a series over Ole Miss, and we swept a series against Kentucky. Those teams are all right there around us. And so when you get down to tiebreakers, when you it's, with the D1 selection committee, you begin to look at that. What did they do head-to-head? When you have two teams that are similarly situated, the best tiebreaker is head-to-head competition. Well, all of that favors Mississippi State. The one that it doesn't, of course, is Florida. And Oklahoma's right there with us, too. Obviously, they took two out of three from us. But, again, I expect us to sweep this series. Oklahoma still got to deal with Texas. And so, again, it could be a scenario where state creeps into the top eight. It could still happen. And we just got to take care of business and need some people to help us out. So we got a little help last night, not as much as we wanted, but it's still right there for the taking. We just got to scoreboard watch and win ball games. Simple as that. We got to make some things happen, and certainly should today. Let's look at our schedule today, too, for those of you that are kind of keeping up. Of course, it's Friday rather than Saturday. It always feels weird, but everybody is an evening game tonight, and so you can kind of keep up on Twitter, watch the ticker as you watch Mississippi State play. Of course, that's going to be on SEC Network Plus, but A&M and Georgia get underway at 5 p.m. Central, Alabama and Florida, 5:30 Central, Kentucky and Vanderbilt at 6, LSU, South Carolina, 6, and, of course, State, at Missouri, 6, Tennessee and Arkansas will get underway at 6:30. 6:30 game, Texas, Oklahoma. Ole Miss and Auburn will play at 7. And so all of that's going to be going on around the same time. And so we will have an updated standings article for you over at jeanspage.com. Once everything goes final, let's kind of let you know where things stand and what state needs to happen. And we make all that stuff free. So again, jeanspage.com, your home for Mississippi State sporting news. We already had the article ready to go with Hunter Hines and Rafi, but feature with Pico Khan from last night. Of course, Nate Stallman and Justin Parker. That's why you travel, right? You get exclusive content to go to the ball games. And people here have been great. They have been. It's just not kind of what we're used to, And so I bring that up because the more that I travel, the more I appreciate what we have and who we are as a fan base and as a university and athletics department. The more you travel, the more you see we are in a lot better position than people think. And the whole poor old state mentality has got to die off. It does. And I hope that many of you get a chance to go take in some road football, baseball, and basketball. It's a lot of fun making that circuit, knocking some things off your bucket list. You take some pictures. And, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I've learned about life, and I probably don't do it enough, but even if you don't post it online, it's kind of good to have pictures of you traveling because one day you're going to die. And that may be a sobering reality, but your family, those pictures will be invaluable to your family. See you happy, enjoying life and traveling. And You know, one of the things that I do is I save all of my lanyards. As I sit here and look at my Mizzou 2025 baseball lanyard with my name on it with a date. And somebody asked me one day, said, well, why do you keep all those? It's the memorabilia of my life, you know. And one day my grandchildren will get a chance to go through all this, and I'm sure it'll mean a lot to my son who loves Mississippi State sports and say, yeah, my dad was there when Mississippi State did this. My dad was there. And so those things are important to me. And so I think it's important to get out and go make some memories. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I do all of this for you. I want to be here, too. Yeah, I want to be here for you, but I want to be here to see the show, to be a part of all of this, and to be able to document it for this generation and for future generations. Those things are important to me. And I can attest that there will be a day when the people that you love will be sitting around trying to put together that video presentation at the funeral home. You know, when they have the highlight video of your life, make it easy for them. Right. Give them some fun things to look through, because I can tell you, like when you lose somebody, that's the first thing you go back and look through all those old photo albums and think about all the time and memories you made together. You know, give those family members a lot more ammunition to work with as they begin to kind of make their final presentation and goodbye to you. Make it easy for them. But also those pictures will help sustain them after you're gone. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. It's worth the time, effort, and trouble to get everybody together to make some cool memories together. We stayed at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse for New Year's and had a blast. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, I didn't partake. The back porch area, the fire pit area, six bedrooms, two soon-to-be three baths, plenty of room for everybody to spread out and just kind of enjoy each other. We did some cooking. We did some sitting by the fire. We watched some football, watched some movies together. But the most important thing is just simply being together. There's not a lot of places that can offer you the opportunity to have just about your whole family together under one roof. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse does, right? The old renovated country club, clubhouse, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, just out past the Highlands. You need to go check it out. You need to be the organizer within your group. You know, you can't depend on other people. Everybody says it. We don't get together enough, but nobody ever plans anything. That should be you. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. That'll give you the opportunity to peruse all of the amenities available to you and your guest. When you Google, you'll also have some booking options, Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, BSR the number 10, get you 10% off your stay. So just by listening to the show, it's an opportunity to save some money at the premier place to stay in the greater Starkville area. It's incredible. You're tailgating right then and there. And I want to spend a little time here, and as we get ready for our Friday, you know, it's going to be a kind of a chill day for me, I guess. We'll write a few things here. And got some recruits you're trying to catch up with and things of that nature. But with the 8 home runs last night, I just kind of want to talk about the impact of last night, kind of where we are historically. You know, that's a single-game record. We now have 90 home runs on the year. You can say, okay, well, Steve, 90's great. Well, that's the fifth most in school history. Think about that for a second. That exceeds 84 and 97. So none of the Clark and Palmeiro teams are in the top five. That's interesting, right? And you know what? You know, we had the guerrilla era in the late 90s, and that 98 team still holds the school record at 97. And just behind them, the 89 team, probably the greatest offensive team we've ever had, had 96. What's interesting is we had 95 in 22. We had 91 in 23. And now 90 in 25. All three of those teams, Jake Gautreaux hitting teams. Let that sink in for a second. not advocating for Jake. I'm just kind of pointing it out. I mean, Jake's my friend, obviously, but the reality of it is Jake Gautreaux has been unfairly maligned at times by our fan base. And you look at these numbers and you could say, you know, the numbers are the numbers, right? Significant, I think. And we still have at least three more games to play. We feel pretty confident about making a regional. You never know how long you're going to play in Hoover. But, yeah, you got a chance, especially with the wind blowing out of Como. I mean, goodness, you don't expect to replicate what we did last night, but you could really chase this thing and move into the top three before we even head back to Starkville. Significant. Also, impact of last night's game, Mississippi State now hitting 307 as a team, which is tied with Tennessee for second in the SEC, only behind Arkansas at 316. That's pretty significant. You know, there's only five teams in the Southeastern Conference that are hitting 300 or better. Four of those five are in contention to be host. Three of those five expected to be in contention to be a top eight national seed. Pretty significant, if you ask me. What's interesting, too, is you look at the Arkansas thing and say, well, you know, still they've had about, you know, 40 more at-bats and done some, you know, hit some home runs, which is great. Strikeout rate's pretty high, too. You know, it's even higher than ours. But it's just, again, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Steve, it was just Missouri. Well, everybody else got to play Missouri, too. And so we don't get to pick the schedule that the SEC hands down to us. And then when you look at what, you know, we did last night, granted the situation is a little different for us than it is for them. They're putting all their eggs in the Hoover SEC tournament basket. You know, we're trying to make a regional. Their only chance to make a regional is to win the SEC tournament. We got to win this weekend. They don't. They have nothing to gain from playing this weekend. You know, you'd love to win. I mean, just for the you don't play the game just to play it. In the warm of home, words of Herm Edwards, you play to win. But they're not putting their best arms forward, as we know, as we shared that with you after our conversation with Kerry Jackson earlier this week. But, yeah, you could have another gaudy score today. I mean, we hope so. And we certainly do. But it's interesting, you know, when I think about all the struggles that Leo Missouri's had this year and then, you know, the fact that so many other teams that are at the top of the SEC right now, they got to play Missouri too, many of those teams. But I don't know that anybody has done what we did. And granted, I'd love to have wrapped that game up, a 12-0 game there in the seventh. And that's kind of what happens. We had to use Nate. We'd love to be able to get out of there without having to use Nate Williams. But you know, I don't think you're going to have a lot of saves this weekend. You know, I may be surprised, but I just don't think that's going to prove to be the case. I don't think you're going to have a lot of games that are going to boil down to one or two pitches. I think this is going to be a scenario where it may turn into a Church League softball game. And, again, you're looking like in Missouri's numbers here. Yeah, I'm running through this. You're looking at some of the scores. And a lot of people have put up some big numbers against them, and rightfully so. Ole Miss's high water mark against Missouri was 17 runs. Texas put up 15. Arkansas put up 21. That's a big number, 21-3. And that's also in seven innings. They didn't go the full nine. But, yeah, I mean, just kind of run through all this stuff. And, yeah, they've had some mercy rule games, but nobody has put up 25 runs against them until we did. And so tonight's first pitch, 6 p.m., still waiting to hear who Missouri will start. And once we do, we'll get you a scouting report over at jeanspage.com. As a matter of fact, I'm checking my email right now just to see if we've got a response on that yet. Doesn't appear we do. But anyway, we'll work on it, see what we can find out for you. But looking around the SEC, you know, numbers here and kind of, you know, we mentioned, you know, what that does for state's batting average. And that's not always the best statistic. It's one that obviously you track. But, you know, kind of working through all of this, we talked earlier in the year about this team had the potential to be elite offensively. I think you've seen some pretty big ball games here as of late in that respect. But, looking at, Garrick Frey, I don't know if you know this, kind of quietly, and Garrick didn't start. And, again, maybe this is a bit of an indictment on our staff in some respects. But Garrick Frey is currently eighth in the SEC at hitting with a .360 average. And then number 11 on the list is Ace Reese. I told some people earlier this year, don't be surprised if Ace Reese is a dark horse for SEC Player of the Year candidate. Now, he won't be because we had won enough games, but he is putting together a tremendous season. We got to do everything we can to keep him. Reese has started 50 games, 71 hits, which is one of the highest totals in the SEC. Cade Snell's leading it with 73, leading in the average, and then has 73 hits, a few others that have hits in the 70s. But 19 jacks for Ace Reese. Last year, Dakota Jordan hit 20. So Ace has a chance to put up some pretty significant numbers in that respect, too. Those are the things that you begin to kind of work through and think about. But Ace will probably get he'll get an All-SEC mention somewhere, as well he should. So we'll see how that plays out. But again, we hope Garrick Frey is okay. He wanted to stay in the game. Again, loves his teammates, loves Mississippi State, wants to go play in a regional. But Reed Stallman picked him up last night. I think I called him Nate earlier. Reed Stallman picked him up. But when I look at what this weekend shows ahead of us, we obviously are in probably the best situation of anybody when it comes to maybe even in the country, when it comes to weekend opponents. But we got to go take care of our business. And Evan Sieri, of course, your national pitcher of the week, according to some publications, I think this is a good matchup for him. You got to work down, but he does such a good job mixing, right? We have some guys at times that are a little bit limited when it comes to, the pitching offerings. But he is a guy that can throw, at times, four pitches for a strike. He can play up in his own, and that's what really got Ole Miss last week. They were a launch angle offense, which is kind of, in some respects, kind of changing a little bit. A lot of people are upset at Ole Miss about how they played offensively at times. But it's just interesting to me when you work through this stuff. And baseball, just like really all sports, is about matchups. And I think Evan Sieri, because of the fact, number one, it's not a great hitting Missouri team. They got a guy, Jackson Lovitch can run into something for sure. They hadn't hit a ton of home runs, but they are a team, especially with the wind blowing out this time of year, that could make things interesting. But let me remind you, this time last year, we felt really good about sweeping a series against Missouri. You go back to 2022, we kind of felt like, hey, that's a series we could get. I don't think this team is on par with those teams, but you can take nothing for granted. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And again, we kind of ran into some things last night, trying to save some arms. But it's so interesting, looking at Missouri up close and personal. They got some good-looking kids. They got some good kids that have some swings. And they have some guys that have some pop. And it just hadn't come together for them. But I think we're in a situation now where Justin Parker and this staff have done a tremendous job keeping these kids locked in. It would have been really easy when they cut it to 12-7 to kind of panic a little bit. And how many times have you seen that happen, not just this year, but in recent years, where we get the big lead and we begin to coast a little bit and the offense kind of goes quiet. But, what happened later in this ball game is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go out there and put people away. Now, we would have loved to have done it in 7. But the reality of it is when you work through all of this stuff and you begin to think about, what's next for Mississippi State, that offensive explosion last night, I think, relaxes us a lot. I think Missouri probably begins to think, okay, here we go again. You know, any good tidings of last weekend of them sweeping A&M have been washed away. And again, they didn't get a midweek game this week either, so there's no chance to build upon that. But I think this is a scenario where State, you know, we've got to come out again. We don't know who they're throwing, but we got to come out tonight with that same approach. And I think Jake Gautreaux and Justin Parker did a great job preparing the team. Again, we come out, we get that leadoff double, and then we get the bunt down. We're going to make them earn it. And Justin Parker said that, you know, we're going to hold the guys accountable. And that's the most important part of baseball. You know, is you got to make sure people understand there's a game plan. You're expected to live up to the expectations of that. But we absolutely have a lot to play for. And a lot of folks didn't expect us to be in this position. And sadly, we even had some of our own fans rooting against us. And I hope we can call all united behind the M over S, regardless of our feelings about Chris Lemonis. I think at our core, we all love Mississippi State baseball. I think that's the most important thing for everybody to understand. And again, it's like some people are kind of stuck on repeat. It's like they forget and we've already fired the coach. We're not going to bring him back. Okay. But again, your rooting interest today, as you work through, you know, the A&M Georgia thing really doesn't affect us. We're not going to catch Georgia. A&M's not going to catch us. And so we don't play either of those teams. So from an RPI standpoint, it really has no impact on us. And we're going to look at RPI before we get out of here. Alabama and Florida, you know, we just want to be able to catch one of those teams. I don't think we can catch them both. But if you think about, you know, the fact that you can pick off a team like Alabama that you get two against, I think that helps. But we just need to catch one of the two. We're not going to catch them both. We need to win all three of ours. That'll make us 15-15. You know, if Alabama takes the series, you could leapfrog Florida because they would be 14-16. If Florida takes that series, then you're tied with Alabama, but you hold the tiebreaker. So we just don't need it to be a split. We need these final two games, one of those two teams to win them both, right? Kentucky and Vanderbilt, we're tied with Kentucky right now. We're not going to catch Vanderbilt. And again, in an RPI piece, I mean, you won three games over them. You don't play Vanderbilt. So a win for Kentucky over Vanderbilt helps us in that regard. But you know, we want to leapfrog them in the standings. Now we're even and have a tiebreaker. And so when you begin to think about that element of it, with Vandy taking one, if Kentucky takes the next two and we sweep, we end up tied with Kentucky, but we hold the tiebreaker. And you get the benefit of those RPI points of Kentucky beating Vanderbilt. We talked already about Auburn and Ole Miss. We have two wins over Ole Miss, one over Auburn. We'd like to catch Ole Miss, because we held a tiebreaker against them. So we need Auburn to win these next two. You're not going to catch Auburn. You want to catch as many people as you can. We're not going to catch LSU. We're not, you know, South Carolina's already locked in as the 15 seed. So at this point, it doesn't really matter. You know, I'd love for, I guess, South Carolina, you know, we won the series against them. We didn't against LSU, and LSU's RPI is going to remain, you know, in the top 10. So I guess South Carolina win or two would hurt, would help us. You know, again, we need every RPI point we can get. We talked about Texas, Oklahoma earlier. We're tied with them, but they would hold the tiebreaker against us. So we need Texas to take another game. We do. Can't really worry about RPI in this situation. We got to worry about standing. So we want to be ahead of Oklahoma. There was some discussion 2 weeks ago that Oklahoma could be in the hosting discussion. They end up getting swept by Kentucky. And Tennessee, Arkansas, we don't play either one of them. We're not going to catch either one of them. So it really has no impact on where we are or where we're headed. Let's take a real quick look at the real-time RPI and just to kind of get an idea of kind of where we are. And it's also fluid, and you're kind of who you are right now, but there's always a little bit of ebb and flow, you know, at the end of this thing, you know, and that's, you know, one of the things that I think is kind of important to understand is that the more you win, the better off you are. But, you know, we're playing a team that doesn't have a great RPI, as you guys know. So we're somewhat dependent on some of the teams that we beat to go out there and do some good things for us. And so for those of you that haven't kept up, and again, it changes daily. It's so incredible to me how difficult it is to navigate some of these websites from time to time. nuts, man. Sometimes it just put the link. All right, so Georgia's top-rated RPI in the country. Auburn is second. Texas is up to three. Vanderbilt drops one, so they're four. And then Arkansas is five. So five of the top RPI teams in the country, all from the SEC. And the issue with that is that we don't play three of them. So we don't get the benefit of that. Auburn and Texas kind of helps us a little bit, but among those two teams, you only have one win. Then there's LSU at eight. You have no wins against them, but Alabama's RPI is nine. You know, so Alabama's certainly in the hosting discussion should they take care of business this weekend. But again, you run it back and you look, you know, seven of the top nine teams in the country, RPI, doing exceptionally well. Florida, number 11 RPI, and you didn't win that series. You know, so that there were so many opportunities there. And Tennessee, big win last night, their RPI 14. Ole Miss is 17. You got two wins over them. That's always important, right? Southern Miss RPI is at 24. They jumped six spots last night by knocking off Troy. It's an interesting series. Oklahoma's RPI is 28. One win there. And then there's Mississippi State at 31. So we feel pretty good about where we are, and we need some of these other teams and other conferences that are ahead of us, like Louisville. Dropped eight spots in the RPI. They're right there at 30. Kansas moved up five spots with a win last night. And so we're kind of rooting against some out-of-conference foes that are ahead of us. Like UC Irvine dropped four spots. He loses to Cal State Fullerton. You know, don't know how many more they could afford to lose and still host, but we're watching. And all of this makes this time of year so fun, right? You know, those are the things that excite me, is to kind of look and see, okay, what games around the country do we need to go which direction to help Mississippi State? And, you know, we'll be monitoring that really over the course of the next week. You know, get into conference tournaments. Of course, you want chaos in conference tournaments because of the fact there are some teams that are right around us in the hosting discussion and some other teams that are, you know, considered to be twos. You'd love for them to get upset by teams with lower RPIs or with higher RPIs. So we just got to keep playing. Again, let traffic clear around us. We actually gained a spot in RPI last night with the dub. But it's also interesting to me. So Kentucky's behind us with three in the RPI. But feel pretty confident about where we are. Nothing is guaranteed, but I feel pretty honest in saying this. With State's RPI, you finish with 14 SEC wins. I think you're in. You win 15. I feel very confident you're in. And that's all depending on what happens in Hoover, too. You know, but again, you still have a chance to finish in the top half of this league. You're absolutely getting in. You know, that was the thing last week everybody's talking about. Man, could the SEC get, you know, 12 or 13 teams in? Well, not going to get 13 because A&M's not going to get in unless one of those teams wins the SEC tournament. But I feel good about where we are. Again, we just need those teams positioned around us to lose as we win and then be elevated above them. And to think that we'd be in this position, you know, I really thought as the schedule turned late that we would make a late run. But there is no denying the fact that the kids are playing a lot looser. You know, the dark cloud of, you know, Lamonis's job situation is no longer hanging over them. And that, you know, that's not anybody's fault. That just kind of is what it is. But the guys can relax and play some baseball. Last night was a lot of fun. It was a long game, but it was a lot of fun. Especially with the kids afterwards. And I had a chance to tell many of them, hey, we set a school record tonight with eight home runs in a single game. And just to look on their face. And Reed Stallman, I think, said it best. He goes, man, anytime that you can set a school record at a place like Mississippi State, that's very significant. He's right in that respect. If you haven't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can get all my sports titles and a copy of my personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Signed copies available through that website. Come float with us at True West Float Spa Stargirl. Again, these last 2 weeks have been the greatest since we opened. Incredible. Thank you guys so much. Made my wife really happy. I don't get to see her very often, but I tell you, when I do see her, she's smiling when she's not sleeping. But nevertheless, 662-268-7601. For those of you that couldn't make it out to Como, maybe a good time to go float before the game today. Pretty busy on Saturday, too. But, yeah, you can download the True Rest app. Check it out, too. Come join us over at janespage.com. Nobody covers Mississippi State the way we do. Nobody travels the way we do and covers the team and brings you guys direct coverage from the sporting events like we do. So we appreciate your support over at janespage.com. Hey, we'll be back together soon. Wanted to go ahead and get your show up since I was up early anyway, and we'll get this rolling for you. And look forward to another night in Como tonight as we look here to take care of business, take a series. But we did not come up here to win a series. We came up here to sweep a series, and that would be quite the statement. And I can tell you, too, a lot of people keep asking about Parker. I can tell you there are some people closely affiliated with Mississippi State baseball that have already endorsed Justin Parker. And that'll be interesting to kind of see how that plays out. I still think in order for Parker to get the job, something very special has to happen. And that may include, I think at the very least, you got to win a regional. Not just make a regional, you got to win a regional. I think if you win a regional, then it becomes a possibility. And then if you win a super and you go to Omaha, I think then it becomes a probability. But the jury is still out. But I know there are many of you that are like, Steve, I just want to win. Parker's doing a good job. The players are responding. I just want to keep this going. You know, but that may not be the best thing for Mississippi State, and that's not really for you and I to judge. But I can tell you there are some people that are very supportive of him that are in favor of keeping him. The search continues. We'll have more on that come Monday. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.